Welcome to episode 498 of the Entertainment 2.0 podcast, brought to you by thedigitalmediazone.com. I'm Josh Pollard.
And I'm Richard Gunther, and this is the show that puts you in control of your favorite movies, music, shows, and games. And vacation's over for me.
Ah, poor Richard.
It was nice, though.
I bet. I bet. Oh, I went to, it was North Carolina, like 10-ish years ago. It was really nice. It's a nice place.
I think we're going to make it an annual thing.
Nice. Maybe not in September?
No, probably in September.
That's risky, man.
I mean, the problem is that rental places there cost like double or triple what we paid if you go in July or August. So
right.
The weather ends up being perfect for us and we don't have kids. So it ends up being perfect for us because there are no kids there. And it just works out really nicely.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't think people want to hear so much about my vacation. They do probably, however, want to hear from our listeners, like, of course, Captain Lon Paw.
Of course. He just had one piece of feedback this time, and it was really short. He said, "You got to make sure that you mention the Golden Joystick Awards. Voting is now open, and if you don't have an opinion on a section, you can skip it." And he gave us a link. He said, "By the way, Sea of Thieves," you knew this was coming, right? "Sea of Thieves has been nominated for Best Game Expansion of the Year." It's like the third or fourth section. So apparently the Golden Joystick Awards have been around for 37 years. I consider myself a hardcore gamer. I've never known about this, but it's video game awards that you get to vote on. So we'll have a link in the show notes if you want to vote.
That's pretty cool. So are there other like official video game awards?
There's sort of, I'm not sure what you'd call official. Like there is a show every December called the Video Game Awards, hosted by Jeff Keighley. Jeff Keighley is the one who puts it all on, and it is the major, it's the major video game award show, but I guess that's maybe only partly due to the fact that it's the only one that I think has a show. I mean, maybe the Golden Joystick Awards do, but a lot of people, when they want to know about game of the year type things, they're going to their favorite video game websites like IGN and Polygon and stuff like that. So, or maybe magazines for those who are still reading magazines.
Mm-hmm.
But the Video Game Awards is a pretty big deal. Major studios will do world exclusive trailers and announcements and stuff at that show. The Golden Joystick Awards, I don't know. Doesn't seem like that big of a deal.
I think that consumer driven awards are a good thing. So I like to see stuff like this. This is cool. And I just thought of something. This is a little bit of a nugget for former Buzz Out Loud or current It's a Thing listeners. I think that Lon Paul is our Fordo. And I'm just going to leave it at that. That's a compliment for what it's worth.
I don't even know what that means. So inside jokes that half of the host of the show don't get. Great. The show, it's not going in a good direction. All right, let's move on to some normal video news in hopes that we can spare this episode.
All right, let's get back on the rails. We'll start the way that we always do with news about Plex, of course. And this hit, I think this news came out like actually the day we recorded last, but both you and I missed this. So there's some updates for Plex, and one of them is the desktop app that we talked about. We had previously discussed how the desktop app was going to not have a 10-foot mode, and then they backtracked on that, and they said, yes, okay, we heard you. We will continue to support a 10-foot mode in the future, and it was in beta. Now it is released. Now it is rolled out. The Plex desktop app. So one thing that you need to be aware of is that if you have the existing Windows or Macintosh version of the Plex Media Player, this is not an update to that. You have to explicitly go and get this new Plex app for your environment, whether it's Windows or whether it's Mac. Now, you need to be aware of something else. It's not available in the Windows Store. So you have to go to the Plex site, and we'll have a link to the post about this with links to where you can get it. But you have to download it from Plex, the EXE, or the application for your Mac. And it can actually live side by side with your Plex Media Player if for some reason you still want to use that. That is still an app that will continue to function for a while. The irony of this is that they talk a lot about how they aren't putting it in the Windows Store because they've abandoned the whole Metro and Windows design and all of that stuff. This feels more like a Windows app now than it ever did before. Because it has that collapsible sidebar thing that we talked about before. Mm-hmm. And I really like that. I think it's actually a nice design. I think it works well for this. So I've downloaded it. I've tested it. I think it's pretty good. I'm getting a little bit frustrated that every single one of these apps on every platform requires you to, again, configure the way you want your sidebar to look before you can even use the thing. So you have to go through that process. But once you do, this can now be your main desktop app. Now, one of the things that they also recently did is they added the ability to allow you to download content to that app. So now, you know, if you're the kind of person that you're on a plane and you use a laptop instead of a tablet, now you can have downloaded movies to your laptop via this app and watch them on your laptop, which is kind of nice. And then finally, I wanted to add that they've also improved the ability to share libraries. Sharing libraries, not just in these desktop apps, but also in iOS and Android, is much, much easier now. So some good updates overall as we continue to see more and more stuff come out from Plex as they kind of consolidate and standardize their different platforms into a common look and feel.
Cool. The fact that you are kind of okay with the UI experience says a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm not thrilled with it, but I like it. I think they've done a good job. I don't like the fact that they've made everything look the same on all the different platforms, but it is what it is. And this is still incredibly powerful, and it's now my daily DVR more than anything else is. So,
wow. You've got a lot of options, so that's a pretty big deal. So why is Plex your daily DVR?
It just seems to be the most, well, I was going to say it's the most reliable, but it's the most reliable for all of the content that I'm recording, and then most flexible in terms of what I can do with it once I've recorded it. Because with my TiVo, which you could argue is probably the most rock solid of all of these solutions, It's harder to move content around once I've recorded it on that TiVo.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. All right. Well, we'll move on to another common source of news for us, and that's Silicon Dust and the HD Home Run apps and tuners. Those guys have updated the HD Home Run app specifically for their DVR subscribers to attempt to bring some clarity to what all of the different icons and different recording status things mean.
That's an interesting way that you said that.
Yeah. So we're all used to seeing red dots in our DVR guides and things like that. And that means that it's probably going to record, or it was recorded, or it is recording, or whatever. And HD Home Run wanted to, I don't know, make it a little bit more clear that there could be a whole lot of different things going on. So they came up with a whole lot of different icons. Here's how this works. If you've got a red dot, That's what you'd normally expect. It means that show is scheduled to record, it's going to record. They've introduced a gray dot. If it's a gray dot, it's a repeat, probably, and it won't record unless a prior recording fails. So this is something you see out in the future. Maybe there's multiple showings that night. It's only going to record if the earlier showing didn't record.
And okay. That's a nice addition, because previously it used to look as if when you set up a series recording, it was going to record every single instance of the show, even if there were repeat showings. And this is a way of clarifying that in some way.
Right. They've also introduced a green check mark. That means that the episode was already recorded. Okay. There's a gray check mark, or tick, as they also called it. That means that that show was recorded and deleted. So you really don't need to record that one. And then, of course, there's the option of no dot or check when you might be thinking, eh, this maybe should be recording and it's not. This is for scenarios, really the most common one would be like, let's say you've already watched all of the previous seasons of a show. So you've only set up recordings for the current season of a show. If there's an airing of a previous season and you said you only want to record the current season, it won't put a dot there. Kind of makes sense. So I think all of these do make sense. The problem that I have is there's no way you're going to remember all of these. And I haven't tried this myself yet, but I don't, like, from their screenshots, they don't show a key or a legend anywhere within the app to remind you what all of these different icons and different colored versions and all that stuff mean. What do you think?
I think it would be fairly obvious except for the gray tick. I think everything else just kind of makes sense that, yeah, it recorded this, or it's going to record this, or it may record this. I think all of those make sense. The gray check mark or the gray tick, that to me seems really confusing, and I'm not entirely sure why that exists.
Yeah.
Like, why not just show nothing in that case? Because in that case, the answer is this will not be recorded. I don't care why necessarily.
And some might, you know, honestly, that option there, me coming from my software development background, this feels like something I would put into an app that I'm working on just so that I can easily test a whole bunch of different scenarios.
Right. It's great for debugging, maybe not so good for users.
Yeah. Yeah. So who knows? Maybe this one ends up going away. They are a company that listens to their users for feedback. That's where a lot of this came from. So maybe a lot of people will say, we don't need this many. And the gray tick, the gray check mark, that can just go away. So
yeah,
who knows? We'll see. If this sounds really curious to you or interesting or really useful to you, you can turn this on by going into the little gear icon in the app and then enable the early access features. And that's how you'll start seeing these icons all over the place.
All right, cool. Well, Josh, you may have to cover this next story because I'm going to have to be stifling laughter while we're talking about this.
This news was announced last Tuesday, I think, and Richard actually messaged me and said, I think you should do the show tonight without me so that I don't have to be there to talk about the name of this service. What service are we talking about? Well, NBC's newly announced streaming service called Peacock.
Yeah. Yeah. The Peacock streaming service.
Yeah. Like, I get it. We all get it. Their logo is a peacock. We get it.
Yep.
I'm also really glad that they didn't go with NBC Plus like every other subscription service is doing nowadays. Just add a plus to our name and that's our streaming service.
I'm not entirely sure that I am glad about that because this is just ridiculous. This is the kind of name that you give some... It almost sounds like there was nobody young in the room when they made this decision, or that maybe they did it all on paper and no one actually said the words Peacock Streaming out loud when they were thinking about this.
Yeah, probably.
I don't know. Anyway, so yeah, this is the thing that we talked about before. It brings everything under one umbrella. This is a good thing. I actually like the logo. I think the logo is kind of cool. It incorporates mm-hmm. the NBC colors. And it looks like it's going to be a very good service, and I'm looking forward to it. I don't know that I would pay for it if it's something that you have to pay for, but we'll have to find out what it's going to cost because we don't know yet, and they're not saying yet.
Right, they're not saying yet, but it does look like it's going to have the content you're looking for. It's obvious it's going to be the exclusive home for The Office and Parks and Rec. Well, once that contract between The Office and Netflix expires in 2020, they're boasting 15,000 hours of content. And they talked about a whole bunch of new exclusives, new originals. And there's one that I am so excited about.
No, I am so not.
Oh, gosh, come on. It is combining two of my favorite things. Mm-hmm. Battlestar Galactica. This is a mm-hmm. Battlestar Galactica reboot. So right. It could be a completely different story.
Okay, so it's not a reboot. It's been heralded as a reboot. It is a story that takes place in the Battlestar Galactica universe, as far as I understand. But But the headlines have been saying that it is a reboot. So there's conflicting information out there.
Mm.
If it's not a reboot, I am going to be happier with it because I don't want them to try to retell this same story again when it was done so, so well before. This is almost as much of a blasphemy as the idea of someone redoing The Princess Bride, which is also a terrible, terrible idea.
That is a terrible idea. You can't perfect that. I'm okay with this because when I read reboot, I thought, okay, it's going to be the Battlestar Galactica universe. It's going to be a similar story, but it probably won't be the same story. It will be Cylons and humans fighting, but it could really be anything from that. So it's BSG. That's enough to get me interested. The other amazing thing about this is who's working on it. It's Sam Esmail, the guy behind Mr. Robot.
Right.
I told Jen about this and she's like, well, then I can't watch this. His stuff is way too serious, way too creepy, way too dramatic. I can't deal with that much conflict in my life. So,
well, but come on, she's basing that off of one show.
Yeah, but come on. Like, Battlestar Galactica was already pretty... Well, it kind of went back and forth, didn't it, I guess? Yeah, that third season, yikes. So anyway, I'm really excited about Battlestar Galactica. They're also rebooting... Like, this is like my life, Richard. This is the first 25 years of my life. First, there's when I was a little kid... They're rebooting Punky Brewster. I loved that show when I was like five.
Never watched it.
Then they're rebooting Saved by the Bell, the show that I was into when I was in like sixth grade.
Never watched it.
And then BSG, of course, my post-college years. So, wow. Like, I'm not actually going to watch Saved by the Bell and probably not going to watch Punky Brewster either, but I think it's interesting that they're rebooting all of these shows from the first quarter century of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And then a bunch of other things. They're also going to have movies and all that stuff, including Fast and the Furious, the Bourne movies, Despicable Me. They've got a huge catalog of stuff to pull from, but it all comes down to how much this is going to cost.
Yep. I'll stick with the free service for now.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
I am worried about how much of the content that's currently available through Hulu this is going to rate. You know, you mentioned how The Office is going to end up there exclusively, and Parks and Rec will end up there exclusively, which reminds me, I really need to watch Parks and Rec before that happens. Are there other titles that people can currently get for free, or maybe through another more common unbranded streaming service that now they're not going to be able to? They're going to have to get it through NBC, and here we have that fragmentation again.
Right, right. Yeah, that's the direction we're all going. We're going to have to subscribe to Amazon Prime and Netflix and Hulu and Disney Plus and CBS. Okay, not CBS.
Nope, that's it. No, and, that's where I'm stopping.
And Peacock.
Nope.
Well, I'm going to be subscribing to Peacock for Battlestar Galactica. That's just going to have to happen.
Okay.
All right. One more video news, I guess. I guess a Roku device update falls under video news.
Sure.
It's mostly for video streaming. So Roku refreshing some of their players. So latest Roku Ultra, it's $99.99. It does 4K. It does HDR, although not Dolby Vision. If you want Roku and Dolby Vision, you have to buy a Roku TV that has Dolby Vision. Seems weird. Their justification doesn't make any sense, but whatever. It's obviously also going to have a faster processor, so the performance is going to be better. And the remote has some programmable buttons on it and comes with some headphones that you can plug right into the remote, which I still think is one of the coolest features of the Roku.
Yeah, but let's be really clear about this. These are earbuds, not headphones.
You're right. They are earbuds. But who cares? Like, I care more about the remote, the fact that I can plug headphones into the remote. That's pretty awesome.
It's nice because it allows you to plug your headphones in without having to, you know, have them connected way across the room. And the other thing that's nice about it is it keeps you from losing the remote.
Right. Because they're attached to your head. Or it's attached to your head. Yeah. That's also a really good point. Yeah, these are perfect because this sort of setup is what allows me to, like, watch Homeland or Mr. Robot in the living room when Jen's in the room because she just can't stand to listen. So they've also got an updated version of the Express. That is the low-end one. This version will now actually be powered by USB. Like, it can be powered by a lower wattage of USB, I guess is maybe the way to describe it, where most TVs that have USB ports can now power this thing, and which makes it way more portable. Like, if you're traveling with a Roku, you don't have to worry about a separate power adapter and stuff like that. It's still $29.99, and they're still doing the weird partnership with Walmart where you can get the Express Plus at Walmart for $39.99, and that one includes a voice remote. So for $10 extra, you get a voice remote, which probably makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, when you're talking about that lower USB voltage or wattage or whatever it is that's lower about it, I did a little bit of research because I had this problem with my Fire TV that I travel with. And occasionally it cannot work in some TVs that I plug it into. And I have to actually, you know, find an outlet behind the TV that I can plug it into. And in a hotel, that can be challenging. Apparently, there are companies that make devices, and I'm going to probably use the wrong word here, but I'll say that attenuate the power that it's getting out of USB and allow it to be sufficient to then actually provide power to the device. And I think the way they do it, so attenuate is probably the wrong word in multiple capacities. I think the way they do that is that it actually stores up power and then provides the extra power in addition to what it's getting through USB to the TV stick. It's kind of interesting, but they sell those things on Amazon and I'm kind of tempted to buy one.
Wow. That's a little frightening, but okay.
I mean, you know, what could go wrong with some electrical product from some vendor in China that we've never heard about that I'm going to plug into an expensive electronic device that I don't own in a hotel room.
What could go wrong? I'm not concerned about frying a $30 Roku, but frying a like $700 TV, that I might not want to take a risk with. Probably not. All right, let's move on to some audio news. Amazon, this was kind of a surprise announcement. And why the heck are they announcing this at this week instead of like next week or whenever it is that they're going to announce 37 new hardware devices, as they seem to do every fall now? No, instead they decided to announce separately a new version of their Amazon Music streaming service. Which one? I don't know, because Amazon has like 17.
Oh, come on. There are three.
I don't know how you keep them straight, but okay. Three. We'll go with three. Amazon Music HD is, so does this make this a fourth one or is it a tier?
My bet is that, so, I mean, that's the other thing to consider is that these are kind of subsets of each other. This isn't like a Venn diagram, right? You have your Prime Music, which is free music that you get, and it's a subset of the available music. And then you have Amazon Unlimited, which is pretty much like what everyone else offers. And then you have Amazon Unlimited Family, which expands that to multiple people. My bet is that this is kind of an add-on to Amazon Music Unlimited, and it ends like Amazon Music HD ends up being, yeah, because in fact it's based on you being a Prime member. So if you're a Prime member, then it's $12.99 instead of the $7.99 that I think that I pay monthly for the regular Amazon Unlimited service.
Well, I'm going to guess this is unlimited because the URL is amazon.com/music/unlimited/HD.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, that does make sense. So it's Amazon Music Unlimited, but in higher quality streaming. Think Tidal, but Amazon Music. So it's lossless streaming and downloads, and the price is better than Tidal, because Tidal's really the only big competitor here. It's $14.99 a month if all you are is an Amazon Music Unlimited HD subscriber. It's $12.99 a month if you're a Prime member. And how many Amazon Music Unlimited subscribers aren't Amazon Prime members? I'm betting next to zero. Compare that to Tidal, which is $19.99 a month. Although, I'd be remiss if we didn't mention Tidal integrates really cleanly with Plex. So if you're a big-time Plex user, Tidal might still make sense for you. But then, because it's Amazon, it still gets complicated into multiple tiers and all of this stuff. So, I mean, not really tiers, but there's really two levels of Amazon Music HD. There's HD, which is what they're calling CD quality music. So 16-bit with 44.1 kilohertz, sampling rate there. Or Ultra HD, yes, they're using the same video quality things that we use for video on music, which I'm actually okay with. Their reasoning makes sense. Like, people understand the difference between HD and Ultra HD, so fine.
Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah.
You can reuse it. I don't care anymore. The Ultra HD recordings are 24-bit and up to 192 kilohertz. So very, very high quality. And all of this is using FLAC files. So,
but that's not going to cost you anymore. You said another tier, but
right,
it's part of this $12.99 service.
Yeah.
Both the HD and Ultra HD content that they have. And seriously, 50 plus million titles in HD? That's damn impressive.
I have to wonder, I didn't go and look, I didn't think of this until now. How does that audio quality, how do those numbers match up to Spotify when I have it on the highest quality setting? I wonder if it's about the same. Spotify's highest setting certainly doesn't match up to the Ultra HD settings here, but the Ultra HD library It's millions, which right. we linked,
which means
to,
like under 10.
Right. Yeah. We linked to The Verge and they said that has to mean more than 1 million and less than 10 million.
Right.
So, which is not nothing, but it's not everything. So you are still going to be bouncing around between this is HD and this is Ultra HD.
Well, and as I understand it, I mean, you have high quality on Spotify, but they haven't actually rolled out their lossless music quality service, have they yet?
No, they haven't. But like you can go in and pick different levels.
Well, sure. But you're probably talking about, you know, my bet is you're probably talking about, you know, the difference between maybe 192 versus 256 or maybe 512 or something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
In terms of bit rate. I doubt that they're doing anything that increases the sample rate or the bit depth.
Right. Probably not. It probably is just an increased bit rate. So there you go. Aren't you currently an Amazon Music subscriber?
I am. So this has me curious how I'm going to be able to get this, because I know it'll work on apps, but will it work on my car service? Will it work on Sonos? Will it work on Echo devices? I'm assuming it will work on Echo devices. And I believe that they even specifically said that. Now I'm reading the details here, and it says that it will be compatible with products like Sonos, which is good,
mm-hmm.
and Echoes, and they make the point that you're probably not going to hear the difference there. But my car is the big one, because my car just kind of has this weird Wi-Fi integration with my phone to get Amazon Music, and I don't know if it would get... Yeah, I don't know how that's going to work. I'll have to test that out.
I'm just going to go out on a limb and say that it's not going to work. But I could be wrong.
Do you know if they have like a trial for existing users of just the standard Music Unlimited plan? I didn't see anything about that.
Ooh, that's, you know, trials for existing users. No, renews automatically. New subscribers only can try it free.
So that kind of sucks, because how do you know if you'd want to upgrade or not? They figure they got you already.
Right.
I don't want to pay more. I'm probably not going to do it.
It is a 90-day free trial, though.
Hmm. Maybe Edward could try it.
Right.
Yeah, that's it.
Right. That's how these things work. Right. All right. So let's move on to another music subscription service that you've paid for in the past, Apple Music. They've got a cool new feature with the latest version of iOS that just rolled out last week, I think. You would know better than I would. I think that was last week. And yep. That is the ability to see real-time lyrics while listening to music in the Apple Music app. It looks pretty. It gives you the ability to tap on the lyrics to kind of jump around within the song, which is nice, I guess. It's available now on iPhone, iPad, and iPod Touch, coming eventually to Android and to Apple TV. Have you played it?
Coming eventually to the platform where it makes the most sense, which is Apple TV.
Oh, I don't know about that. You know where I think it makes the most sense?
Hmm.
My Google Home Hub. That's where I want to see lyrics. You know?
Yeah, that would be cool too.
Yeah.
That would be cool too. Yeah, I think this is cool. I know that Amazon Music has this, and so I do see lyrics, or I have the ability to display lyrics on songs on my Fire TV stick that I travel with. And so I think it's cool.
Yeah.
I don't know how often I've used it other than to occasionally glance at it and say, oh, that's what he was saying.
Right. Spotify does this too on some devices. I know I've seen it pop up on my phone, and I'm pretty sure I've seen it pop up on Android TV. But it doesn't, I don't know that there's a way to say, hey, show me the lyrics right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is what I would want, like show them to me when I want, not just randomly when you think it would be cool, which is what it seems like it does on Spotify. All right, one more audio news here. And this one's not music, but it's definitely audio. And that is podcast. If you're listening to this, then you've probably got a favorite podcast app. If you've got one that you use, but maybe you don't love, then maybe Pocket Cast is one worth checking out. It's on Android, it's on iOS, and maybe you haven't tried it out in the past because you didn't want to pay $4 for a podcast app when there are decent ones available for free. But Pocket Cast is really good. It was worth the $4, especially if, like me, you listen to like 50 different podcasts, then you want to make sure you've got a good app. Pocket Cast has tons of features, and now it's free. They've decided to make it free, but to add a subscription model on top of it for extra features. And don't run away, like don't turn the show off because you're mad about yet another subscription service. This one, I don't think you're going to be angry about. Instead, I think you're just going to go, oh, I don't care about that. Pocket Cast Plus is 99 cents a month or $10 a year. It gets you additional icons and themes and cloud storage. I don't understand why you need cloud storage and the icons and themes. Like, who cares? Really don't care about icons and themes for my podcast player. So
yeah, but the other thing that it gets you is it gets you their web app if you want the app on your desktop. And they've, as I remember, I think they've always charged for access to the web app. And so, you know, this is a nice thing. I think this is kind of cool that they've changed this to make it free for everybody. But, you know, if you want the desktop access, which is not something that not everybody needs, then you're going to have to pay for that $10 a year. Come on, $10 a year. I don't like subscriptions. $10 a year.
Right. Yeah, it's nothing.
Just here's my advice. Don't go buy that pumpkin spice latte for the next 2.5 days and you've paid for it.
Right. Right. Well, and if you had previously paid for the desktop player, which was $10, I think, forever.
Right.
They are giving you access to Plus forever. Which
forever.
That isn't...
So you're grandfathered.
Yeah, you're grandfathered. Although that isn't what they had initially said. They initially said people who had previously purchased the desktop player would get Plus for 3 years. And everyone freaked out.
And I understand why everyone freaked out.
Yeah.
Because you're pulling the rug out from people and changing your business model and screwing customers over. No, they did. They made the right reversed decision there.
They did. They did. All right. So that's it for our audio news. Check out Pocket Cast if you're looking for a new app. You absolutely should check it out. There's tons of really awesome features that are going to save you time and effort while listening to podcasts. And like, here's one that I love. If you're sick and tired of podcasts that don't trim out all of the silence, this app does it for you. And it can do... like, let's say you've got a podcast that has an annoyingly long introduction. You can set that show to just start 45 seconds into every single episode. So you can save yourself all kinds of time in addition to, adjustable playback speed and things like that. So,
and one more nice thing is that it is available, or rather works with CarPlay. So I imagine it probably also works with Android Auto.
Yes, it does. I use it every single day on Android Auto. Yep. Cool. All right. A little bit of gaming news here. Project xCloud from Microsoft. This is the Xbox game streaming service. This is not available yet. This is a subscription service that is coming that would allow you to stream video games from powerful cloud servers. So you can play games like top tier AAA games on essentially anything. Today, Microsoft announced the ability to register for a chance to test out the service. So you have to be in the United States, the United Kingdom, or South Korea. And if you are picked, you might get to try this out in October. You will have the opportunity to play four games, Halo 5, Gears 5, Killer Instinct, a fighting game, or, for Lon Paul in particular, Sea of Thieves.
Whew! Oh, thankfully.
Thankfully, you can play Sea of Thieves. You don't need to pay for the games, so it's not like you have to go and drop $60 in all these games or be a Game Pass subscriber or anything like that. Access to these games is just included in your trial of xCloud. And initially, it's only for Android devices. So your Android phones, your Android tablets, requires Android 6 or higher, and you need to have an Xbox One controller that has Bluetooth. How do you know if your Xbox One controller has Bluetooth?
Xbox One S or later.
It is Xbox One S or later, but maybe it didn't. Maybe you just bought it on its own, like not with an Xbox. If it has a regular headset jack in the bottom, it also has Bluetooth. Yeah. One exception there. If it's the, now I'm blanking on the name of it, the ridiculously expensive $150 Xbox controller. Why am I blanking on the name of it? I don't remember what it's called.
Yeah, I forget too, but you have to be kidding
me. That one does not have Bluetooth.
You have to be kidding me. I mean, I didn't like that from day one. Now I have yet another reason for not liking it.
It's okay. They're releasing a new one. Remember at E3, they announced they're rolling out a new version of that controller, and it does have Bluetooth and an integrated battery. And it's more expensive than before. It's like $190 or something.
Of course it is.
So that one would work. So I, of course, registered. I don't know if I'll get accepted, but I would love to be able to try out this service. So that's what you need. Just go and sign up. And maybe, you know, even if you don't have an Android device, like eventually this is going to work on PCs and lots of other things. So sign up and eventually, hopefully, you'll get added. Our other gaming story this week, although, you know, actually, to be fair, we didn't record last week. If we had, I would have included Apple rolled out Apple Arcade. Although
we did talk about that
2 weeks ago, didn't we?
Yeah.
Okay. But it actually came out last week, I think.
I believe so.
Yeah. So Apple Arcade is now out. And this week, Google launched their similar service called Play Pass. It's very similar, except that it's games and apps, and the library is a lot bigger. It's 350 games and apps. It's $4.99 a month. It works with the family sharing, so up to five accounts. They're doing a 10-day trial, which I think is longer than Apple Arcade. Not like any of this matters. Like, you've either got Apple devices or Android devices. There aren't people
right,
who are
exactly
comparing here. But
exactly,
it's a 10-day trial, and then if you sign up now, after that 10-day trial, instead of it being $4.99 a month for you, you'll pay $1.99 a month for the first year. And then after that, it goes up to $4.99 a month. So there's absolutely...
That's pretty cool.
It is really cool. So there's no reason not to try it out right now. So what does it come... Like, what games and apps do you get? Well, good luck finding a complete list. It doesn't exist. They've made this kind of hard to find. And maybe with it being such a large list, fine. I guess that's okay. Or maybe they just kind of wanted to hide the amount of junk that's in there. But there is a lot of really good stuff in there, especially games. Monument Valley, Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic, Stardew Valley, This is the Police, Limbo, Old Man's Journey. That's a bunch of great games right there. And all of those games together would cost you, I bet, $30, $40, $50 right there just for those games. On the app side, AccuWeather's in there for free. There's probably some other decent apps that make sense to have here. And the important thing to remember with this type of service is it's not just that you're getting free, you know, not free, but access to these apps. It's that these apps and games don't have ads in them anymore, and they don't have paid add-ons. So you're getting the full access, everything to the app or the game. You don't have to worry about streaming ads in all the time and all that junk. You don't have to worry about your kids buying a bunch of extra add-ons to the games or anything like that. It's all just included. So I'm super pumped. I tweeted earlier today, like, did they mean it? Is this really rolling out? Because no one I know has access to this. And then I checked again this afternoon after I got home from work. I do have it. I signed up. I've already downloaded Stardew Valley and a couple of other games. I'm really excited about this. This is, I think, going to change how my kids play games. In fact, I know it will, because I'm basically going to tell them only play games that are available through Play Pass, because I'm sick of you having to watch all of these ads and all that crap. So,
well, and you talked about that also with Apple Arcade. Mm-hmm. In so many ways, this is Google going, okay, we'll see your Apple Arcade and raise you by 250 apps.
Right. Right. Although we don't know. We don't even know what the breakdown is between apps and games.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know. The other major difference between what Apple's doing and what Google is doing is Apple has exclusive games that are only on Apple Arcade. And
right.
That's not the case here with Google. These are games that have been around for a while, or, you know, maybe some of them are relatively new, but these are games that you can just go out and buy if you want, but you can get them included with Play Pass.
And Apple is also playing really hard on that indie game house theme too, you know, wanting to showcase some of the smaller game houses that don't necessarily get the recognition, but they make really good games.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. The other thing that I haven't heard them mention is Android TV support. I've got an Android TV device, and I've got a couple of game controllers for it. I wonder if that works, or maybe they're waiting on that to build up a library of games that support controllers. I'm not sure.
Maybe.
I'll have to check that out. All right, our last quick bit of gaming stuff is just an update on your free games this month. On the Xbox side, the games with gold, you know, we're almost to the end of September, so different games available now, and you're running out of time on some of them. So your new Xbox One game that is available is We Were Here, and your other Xbox 360 game for the last half of the month is Tekken Tag Tournament. It's a fighting game. And you've still got the same PlayStation Plus free games, Batman Arkham Knight and Darksiders 3. So that's free games. That's it for all of our gaming news. Before we get into what's going on in our entertainment center, I just want to ask you, if you like this show, share the love, man. Share it with a friend, whether that's in person, whether that's a sticky note, or whether that's sharing it on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram or whatever social network it is that you frequent the most. Share a link, share a screenshot of the show with your friends, and share the goodness. We'd appreciate it. Thanks.
I'm trying to think of a sticky note use case.
You'd have to leave it on their desk with a link to, I don't know.
Yeah. Don't put it on someone's back.
No, not their back. Yeah,
that would not be cool.
No, no. It's not a kick me sign.
No. All right. Well, so as we always do, we'll close out with what's going on in our entertainment centers. And I have been traveling, as I mentioned, and so that always changes how I consume media. Now, we stayed in a vacation home, and I didn't really know what we were getting ourselves into. So I downloaded shows and episodes on every app that I could. I downloaded stuff on TiVo. I downloaded stuff on Netflix. I downloaded stuff in Apple, and I pretty much watched none of it. And part of the reason was that I also packed with me my Fire TV, and the house where we went had an Apple TV already hooked into their home theater system. So I just logged in as me on their Apple TV, and that gave me all my stuff. And wow, that's so convenient. It's crazy. And then on the Fire TV side, I had the Fire TV hooked into another of the TVs in the house. And not only did that give me access to the normal apps and my library of stuff and Plex, and I did use it to access Plex a number of times to watch Big Brother. Sorry, I couldn't let it go. But I also used that for the AT&T Watch TV app. And I don't know that I've talked about this before, but I have AT&T wireless mobile service. And a benefit of that service is that I get access to this Watch TV app, which is essentially a bunch of cable stations, like 35 cable stations, available for streaming to watch live. Like, I could theoretically drop cable.
Yeah.
Because I have most of the stations that I want. Now, they don't have DVR service, at least not that I'm aware of. I might have to research that a little bit more. But they do have the ability to watch those stations live. And so I was using that to be able to, you know, watch the news or watch various things. I think we watched some HGTV stuff and, you know, the usual stuff that's always on in the background. Now, before I left, I also upgraded my mobile plan to their premium plan so that I could have a hotspot because I didn't know what I was getting into on Wi-Fi.
Right.
And I'm really glad that I did that. I didn't need it because the Wi-Fi there was really good, but I'm glad that I have the hotspot now and I'm going to end up keeping that. As part of that upgrade, I also get a free premium TV service. And so I picked HBO. And so HBO is now added to that Watch TV streaming service that I have. Plus, I get access to HBO Go again.
Wow.
Anywhere I want it.
That's awesome.
It is awesome. So I paid like $10 a month as an upgrade for the hotspot and this plan. And that gives me a $17 a month service, which is a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
So
is that a limited time thing or is that forever?
Nope. It's for as long as I have the premium plan.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really happy about that. And I was so excited to reinstall HBO Go on my TiVo and my, you know, sign in again with my new creds to be able to do that. Cause that's a really useful service. And one more thing in terms of hardware. And that's that, of course, I have the new iPhone because it was new iPhone day last week.
Right.
And Josh, my new iPhone beat me home.
That's a little frustrating.
Which was really frustrating. Yes. I pre-ordered. I had peer pressure while I was away and I succumbed and I pre-ordered. And sure enough, it was waiting for me when I got home. So that was actually kind of cool. Now, like I said, I did watch Big Brother while I was away, and that's going to end before you even hear this. So, weird season. Someone I really want to win, someone I really don't want to win, and someone who just doesn't even deserve to be in the top three. But oh well. And then I've been watching more of Black Mirror. We finished Grace and Frankie season one, continuing to work my way through Star Trek Discovery and liking it so far. While we were away, a friend of mine said, hey, you should try the Great British Baking Show. It's the thing. Everybody loves it. And we watched the first episode of the first series, and it was okay. I don't know that I could watch like 10 seasons of that, but whatever. Because I understand that the formula is the same every time. A bunch of people get together in a tent outside in these makeshift kitchens and they get these, I don't know, whatever. It's a thing. People love it for some reason. Also, we watched the movie Leap. I don't know if you've ever heard of this. It was cute.
I don't think so.
It was an animated film, I think Fox or something like that. And it was cute. And then while we were in the rental house, we had a home theater room, which was kind of cool. And I call it a home theater room because it wasn't a home theater. It was a room set up kind of like a home theater, but with just like a big couch. And it had a projection screen and stuff like that. So that's what the Apple TV was hooked on. And we watched John Wick, John Wick 2. Now I really need to see John Wick 3. And we watched The Martian all on the Apple TV on that, which was kind of cool. And then, of course, the Emmys. I watched that on Sunday night, and because I'm on vacation, I'm behind on podcasts again. So I'm about a week behind, and I need to do some catching up. But that was pretty much it. And it's funny because being away and trying to plan for being away really made me think a lot about how mobile is my content, actually.
Yeah.
And the reality is that it's incredibly mobile if you have connectivity. If you have good connectivity, I was amazed how plugged in I could be.
Mm-hmm. But that's always a risk when you're at a vacation property.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know that I've ever vacationed at a place that had really good internet. So you got lucky.
Right. Yeah. And they had both a 2.4 and 5 gigahertz network that you could connect to. Hmm. So
yeah. I want to take a slight step back. How were John Wick and John Wick 2? I've not seen any of those movies, but they kind of seem like the type of movie I would be into.
Yeah, I really liked them. They are crazy violent, mm-hmm. but I really liked both of them. I thought they did a good job with both. I thoroughly enjoyed them. I absolutely want to see the next one.
Cool. Cool. I think that's available on everything now.
I think so too. Yeah. I mean, as long as you're okay with the violence, these are fun movies.
Is the story any good at all?
The way I'll describe it is there doesn't need to be much of a story the way that they've framed these movies. There's enough of a story that you don't feel like you got screwed over and you're just watching stuff happen. I don't know how to answer that. I mean, you know, is it a good story? I don't know. I mean, I think you know the gist of this. You've probably heard, I don't want to get into it because it'll be a spoiler to someone who hasn't, but many people have talked about what is the catalyst for John Wick and why does he go on this rampage mm-hmm. already? And so that's basically the story of the first film. And so for the second one, they have to come up with a reason for, okay, why is this happening again? And they do a fairly good job with
okay.
it.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess that makes it my turn.
It does make it your turn. What have you been watching? And your list is longer than
it's
usual.
It's been 2 weeks.
That's true.
That's true. But it's actually not, like, it looks long, but it's not really, it doesn't actually account for that much time. So I think I've watched 2 episodes of Homeland season 5 in the last 2 weeks. So obviously my hopes of trying to finish that up before The Good Place, not going to happen since that
right,
starts
but you
this
know,
week.
Right, but you know, in terms of Homeland, that you have a reprieve there because that's been pushed out to February now.
For season 7?
For season 8.
Oh my gosh, I have so much Homeland to watch. But that's a good thing, because I love it. Yep. So that's all I've watched, except for some football, of course, since it's football season. And then for games, played a little bit of The Division. All the guys that I played The Division with when it first came out were finally able to play again. So we played one of the new missions that became available over the last month or so, planning to play a little bit more of that over the next couple of weeks to try and finish off all of those missions. This last weekend was also the Call of Duty Modern Warfare beta, the open beta, because I didn't pre-order the game. Plus, I think the only way to get access to it prior to this last weekend would be to pre-order and to be on PlayStation 4. I don't play online games on PlayStation, so I only got to play this one night, and that was Saturday night, and I really liked it. I really liked it a lot. I mean, it's not super surprising that I liked a Call of Duty game, but Modern Warfare, the first one back in 2008, was what got me into Call of Duty. It's, you know, it's Modern Warfare. It's realistic, like, mm-hmm. current day weapons and stuff like that. It doesn't have the jetpacks and all of the other craziness of some of the other games. It's just boots on the ground, running around with assault rifles and machine guns that real soldiers would be using nowadays. It's a little bit slower than some of the previous games, which I think kind of helps me because I'm old and slow. It also, they seem to have tamed down a lot of the kill streaks. So, real quick, kill streaks. When you play these multiplayer games, if you get lots of kills without dying, you get rewards. And it's like different types of weapons. And in the past, it would be like, first is like a radar to see people on your minimap. But then it would ramp up to like cruise missile strikes and air gunships and helicopter gunships and all this stuff. And the really good players would just be getting these things nonstop, and it'd be like spawn dead from all of these other kill streaks, and it wasn't fun. And it seems like a lot of that's been scaled back, and it was a lot more fun. They also introduced a new mode called Ground War that is 64 players on one giant map. It's a lot bit chaotic. But if you were playing with a big squad of friends, it would probably be a lot more fun. So I really like this. I'm going to have to try and convince Joe to buy this, I think, because I'm really kind of wanting it. So we'll see. I don't think I had mentioned Gears 5 on the last show. I think it had come out, but I hadn't had a chance to play it yet. Joe and I have played, I think we've played through the first act now. I'm not really sure. I'm already liking Gears 5 way more than I liked Gears 4. I'm not going to say that it's like greatest game ever or best story ever, but the story is way better than the story of Gears 4. And the graphics are just stunningly gorgeous. It's
nice.
It's a really good game. And if you've got Game Pass on console or PC, it's there. So you might as well play it. And then the other game that I played, it's also a Game Pass game. This is the one that's the most surprising, I think. Blair Witch. There's a new Blair Witch game that the trailer looked super creepy. And I know after last year, I played a scary game. I can't remember the name of it now on PlayStation. I think I said after that, I'm done with scary games. Not doing that anymore. But Blair Witch came out the year I graduated high school. There was all that intrigue.
Oh, good grief. You and this nostalgia.
But Blair Witch was the thing the year that came out. I mean, you remember how big of a deal that was.
Oh, absolutely.
And that was the number one box office movie for years until Avatar. It was the number one movie in terms of, like, I think domestic gross profits or something like that. It's easy to make a lot of money and profits on a movie that costs like $4,000 to make. But anyway, so I wanted to try out Blair Witch. And what I said, you know, Jen, who really doesn't like horror movies at all, I was like, so they made a Blair Witch game. What would you think if the two of us sat down together, turned off all the lights, I play the game, you tell me what I should do?
What?
And she was like, okay, I'll give it a try, which shocked me. Like, I thought there was no chance she was going to.
I'm surprised by that too.
Yeah. But she agreed. So we sat down, turned off all the lights, fired it up, started playing. And you're a police detective going into the woods where all the crap happened in the movie. Like a 9-year-old kid has gone missing. You're a former police detective and you're going into the woods to try and help the cops find this kid. And you've got a dog. Every game is better with dogs, I guess. So we get in and there's very little to go on, you know, and it's takes place in the 90s, like 96 or something like that. So you don't have smartphones or anything like that. You've got a little flip phone, but that's about it in terms of technology. And this game was boring as hell. It was so boring. Like, we basically just spent a half hour getting lost in the woods with nothing creepy happening. And about 20 minutes in, Jen said, listen, you get 10 more minutes. And if this game doesn't get interesting, I'm done. And I said, I'm right there with you. I'm sick of wandering around in the woods. And 10 minutes later, we hadn't really made it any further in the game. And we gave up and turned it off. And I uninstalled it from my Xbox.
Sounds a lot like the movie.
Oh, the movie was good. The movie was really good.
Yeah, a bunch of kids running around in the woods with flashlights scaring themselves, whatever.
The movie was way better than that. Come on, Richard. All right, so that's it. That's it for what I've been watching and playing in my entertainment center. I'm thinking there's another beta this weekend for Ghost Recon, Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Breakpoint. Sort of similar to The Division, but not really, that I'm going to try and play this weekend also, because that also looks like the type of game that I would be really into. So see if I can get my squad of players to go and check that out this weekend, and I'll report back next week if I can. I didn't even put it in the list. It's probably because it's just assumed. NHL 20 played some of that, of course.
Well, of course you did.
Probably don't need to mention it. Yeah. So that's it. That's it for what's going on in my entertainment center. That's it for the show. If you'd like to get a hold of us, we're on Twitter. Richard is at Richard Gunther. I'm at Josh Pollard. And the website is at DigiMediaZone. We're on Facebook and Instagram and lots of other places. All of the links are in the show notes over at thedigitalmediazone.com. Richard, you've got another podcast called Home On, where you cover the latest smart home news in the DIY space. What is going on with Home On?
Well, the episode that I've been teasing for weeks now was released about a week and a half ago. So that's with Mike Phillips. Actually, it'll be 2 weeks by the time you're hearing this. That's with Mike Phillips, the founder of Sense. I think we had a really good discussion. I thoroughly enjoyed that. And frankly, I want the product. Like, I'm really interested enough that I'm willing to pay $300 for this product because I think it's a really, really cool. Next month, October, is fire prevention awareness month or something like that. And so we're having the folks from Lifedoor. Joel Selinger, one of the co-founders of Lifedoor, is going to be joining me for our next episode talking about their cool product that is currently a disconnected smart home product that will, at some point in the future, potentially offer a connected solution as well.
That I'm familiar with Lifedoor. That's a cool product, so I'm really excited.
It's a really cool product. Yeah.
All right, and then we weren't able to do this show live tonight. Had some issues with Mixer, but hopefully we will be back live next week. So look for us. Our normal night is Tuesday nights at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. We'll tweet to let you know for sure if that's going to happen, because that's going to do it for episode 498.
498. 400. We are counting down to 500.
Yeah.
500. That's crazy.
So ridiculous.
Yeah. And now I haven't done 500. You haven't done 500. You're way closer than I am. I'm going to be something like 340 something, I think, in total. It'd be interesting for us to count that before we do episode 500. But here's how that's going to play out. So assuming everything goes as usual, we'll be recording next week for episode 499. Then the week after that, I am at the Smart Kitchen Summit. That will not be when we do episode 500.
No, I'm going to do episode 500 without Richard.
Yeah. Yeah. I would take that a little personally. So when I'm back, so we'll have a week off. And then when I'm back, we'll be doing episode 500. And we are going to be asking for some of your input, some of your participation in that. So listen for that in our next episode. Yeah.
So episode 500 will be recorded theoretically October 15th.
Theoretically. Well, I mean, that's the plan, right?
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
All right. Well, he's Richard Gunther. I'm Josh Pollard. Thanks for listening to Entertainment 2.0. Adios.
Goodbye.